Okay, today we turn to chapter 5, and we'll work through lessons 5 and 6. We saw last week lessons 4 through 6 go together as a set, and we learn in these three lessons the basic paradigm of the verb in the present tense, singular and plural, first, second, and third persons, and we'll learn the basic form of the noun. That'll be in lesson 6. Last week in lesson 4, we learned the verb in the singular. Now in lesson 5, we'll learn the plural. Okay, and so page 17, we start with a brief review of the three forms for the verb in the present tense in the singular. Lego, I am saying. Let's say that together. Lego.
Lego.
Leges, you are saying. Leges. And lege, he is saying. Lege. Okay. He is saying or she is saying. So the endings are O, ace, and A. Now moving on to the plural, we have legomen, legate, and legusen. So legomen, legomen, we are saying. So omen is the ending for that. First person plural. Legate, legate, you are saying. Ete is the ending there. And yes, this is second plural. These are all plural, these three. And legusen, legusen, they are saying. And the ending there is either usin or usi. The N may or may not be there. Legusen.
So if a verb has these endings, then it won't have the actual pronoun?
It needn't have the pronoun. It may have the pronoun. The pronoun may be added for emphasis. But it need not have the pronoun because the subject is encoded into the verb. Yes.
And if the pronoun obviously has to match this.
Yes. If, yes, the pronoun would have to match. So if the pronoun is there, it's been added in for a reason, and then you have to figure out why, because for some reason or other the author is being emphatic about that. Okay. So section 2, pass that around to Art. Section 2, first person plural. So this is the we. We have three verbs that we're working with. Legomen, we are saying or we say. Legomen. Graphomen. Graphomen, we are writing. And anagnoskomen. Anagnoskomen, we are reading. So put those into a sentence and we have legomen tous logus. By graphomen autus. Let's try saying that. Legomen tus logus. By graphomen autus. We are saying the words and we are writing them. Now remember, we saw we could translate legomen as we say or we are saying. It's something that conveys the present tense and then becomes an issue of style and of context as to how you would choose to render the particular nuance of the present. Then, graphomen ton logon, kai anagnoskomen auton. Graphomen ton logon, kai anagnoskomen auton. We are writing the word, and we are reading it. Okay, so there the noun is in the singular. So now some sentences to translate. Graphomen ton logon, kai anagnoskes auton. Graphomen ton logon, kai anagnoskes auton. So we have graphomen ton logon, we write the word, and anagnoskes auton, and you read it. the you there being singular, okay, with the ace ending. Graphe tus logus, kai anagnoskomen autus. Graphe tus logus, kai anagnoskomen autus. He writes the words, plural, and we read them. So you see there how the, in the first sentence, the auton is working, and here the autus is working, referring back, pronoun referring back to the words. And there has the same ending as logus. Number three, ha prophetes lege tus logus tu theu, kai graphemen autus. Ha prophetes lege tus logus tu theu, kai graphemen autus. The prophet speaks the words of God, and we write them. So, ha prophetes there is the subject of the verb, lege. Then, tus logus is the direct object. Okay, in the plural there. Tu theu is telling us something more about the direct object, that it's not just any words, it's specifically the words of God. And then we have a second verb with the same subject, and then second verb, and then autus is a pronoun, and we have to look back and see what does that refer back to, and it refers back to the logus. It's, notice it's got the same ending as logus. They both end in us. So it, we say it agrees with that. It's in the same. And in the next chapter, we'll learn what these different forms of the noun are. Altus, 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 altus. Ow, ow, yes, ow, altus. Okay, number four, over the page. Legomen tus logus tu Jesu kai graphe altus ha Marcos. Legomen tus logus tu Jesu kai graphe altus ha Marcos. So legomen, we speak, tus logus is our direct object in the plural, the words, and then we're given some more information about the words, so they're defined in some way, tu Jesu, of Jesus. And now we have another verb. He writes, and he writes. Now we have to wait. Are we going to get a subject for this? He writes autus them, and then we get our subject at the end of the phrase, ha Marcos, and Mark writes them. Okay. And number five, ha Marcos graphe ton logon kai anagnoskomen auton. Homarkos graphe ton logon kai anagnoskomen auton. Mark writes the word. Notice now that the order has been changed to put Mark first. So in the previous sentence, we had graphe autus homarkos with the subject at the end. In English, word order makes a big difference to meaning. In Greek, it doesn't, because we know from the ending of Marcos that that is the subject and that autus is the object. So here, the subject's being moved to the front. Mark writes the word, and we read it. Again, the auton refers to the logon. Okay. So that's first person plural.
Is that because it has the same ending?
It has the same ending, yes. And again, in lesson six, we'll learn what these endings are. It's in what we call the same case. Okay, section three, second person plural. We have legete, graphete, and acuete. So legete, you are saying or you say. Graphite, graphite, you are writing, and acuite, you are hearing. Acuite, you are hearing. So a new verb introduced there. And notice that the ete ending there is in bold. So we have leg, and then ete on the end, graph, and ete, aku, and ete. We call that the stem, leg, with the ending. So, legomen tutus, tus logus, kai acuete autus. Legomen tutus, tus logus, kai acuete autus. So we speak, and it's not just tus logus, we speak the words, but we now have another word added in there, tutus, meaning specifically these words, kai acuete autus, and you hear them. And again, the autus, we look back to see what does that refer to, and it goes back to the tus logus. And the tutus, the demonstrative pronoun, these, has the same ending as the tus logus. Second example, graphite tuton, ton logon, kai anagnosko auton. Graphite tuton, ton logon, kai anagnosko auton. You write this word, and I read it. So again, you write, and then it's not simply ton logon, but tuton ton logon. And notice that the ending there for is tuton, because it has to agree with the ton logon, the pronoun.
So ton logon would be just the?
Ton logon would be just the word, and adding this makes it this word.
Okay, that's interesting that they just don't do tuton.
Okay, now five sentences to translate. Legite tuton ton logon. Legite tuton ton logon. You speak this word. Acuite tuton ton logon. Acuite tuton ton logon. You hear this word. Graphite tutos tus logus, kai anagnosko autus. Graphite tutus tus logus, kai anagnosko autus. You write these words, and I read them. Again, for the autus, we have to go back and see what it refers to, and it refers back to the logus. Number four, ha prophetes lege tutus tus logus, kai acuete autus. Ha prophetes lege tutus tus logus, kai acuete autus. The prophet speaks these words, and you hear them. So in this case, lege would be he speaks, and here we're given a specific subject, ha prophetes. Tutus, tus logus, all have the same ending. They all have to agree these words. And then autus, again, we look back to see what it refers to. It refers back to the tutus, tus logus. And five, anagnoskete tus logus tu prophetu kai acuamen autus. Anagnoskete tus logus tu prophetu kai acuamen autus. You are reading the words, tus logus, the direct object, and then we're told something more about that, a little more specificity. It's tu prophetu, it's the words of the prophet, and we hear them, acuamen autus. Section 4, the third person plural. We have legusin, acuusin, and anagnoskusin. So, legusin, they are saying, or they say, Akuusin. Akuusin. They are hearing. That's a little difficult. You have two diphthongs in a row there. Uu. Akuusin. And anaginoskusin. Anaginoskusin. They are reading. So, graphusin tus logus ento biblio. Graphusin tus logus ento biblio. So, graphusin tus logus, they are writing the words. That's clear enough. Then we have this ento biblio. So, we've seen en before. En means in. And then to biblio has that ending. This is a different type of ending. We saw it in en alto back in an earlier lesson in it. This is now in the book. So this is a another type of ending that we'll learn in the next lesson of what that is. So they are writing the words in the book. And that is an indirect object there.
So
yes.
The Bible really means the book?
The Bible is the books. Tabiblia, the books. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the purpose of the two there before Biblia is
the to and to. To is that is the article. That's the article.
O,
this O ending. It goes with the preposition en.
Okay.
And this will become clearer when we get to the next lesson. I'm pointing out that we get these variety of different endings depending upon the function that the word is playing in the sentence. So we see that there's an ending if it's the subject, if it's the direct object, if it's a word that is telling us more about one of those other words, or in this case, it's the indirect object. So you could have, they are writing words in the book. The words is the direct object. And then in the book is an indirect object. And it gets put in a different case. Next example. Hoi prophetai anagnoskusin tus logus tu bibliu. Tu bibliu. Hoi prophetai anagnoskusin tus logus tu bibliu. The prophets are reading the words of the book. So we have a subject, hoi prophetai, anagnoskusin is our verb, tus logus is the direct object, and then the plural, so us there, the general ending for a direct object and the plural. And then we're told something more about the words, tu bibliu, that they're specifically words that are in of the book.
So, what's the difference between to, that toi biblia, tis biblia?
So, that is, they're all different forms of the article, and the article changes its form, and this is true for any noun, changes its form according to the role it plays in the sentence, whether it's the subject or the object, or the indirect object, or is telling, or is specifying, is qualifying a noun in some way.
So the, in the book and of the book, is that a meaningful difference?
Well, in the book is functioning as a indirect object, and of the book is functioning, in this case, as a possessive. It's telling us who owns the book, or where the words are, what the words are, the words of the book. It's giving us more specificity about the words. And for each of those roles, the word has it takes a different form. And again, we'll learn this when we get to the next lesson, which we will do this morning. And if you haven't learned a language which has different cases for words, for nouns, German or Latin or something, this is a new way of thinking about language and how it works. But it's because of this that you can get away with a flexible word order. For us in English, we have to do a lot of this with the order in which we put words. Okay. So at top of page 19, we have some examples, some sentences. Number one, hoi prophetai graphusin tus logus en to biblio. Hoi prophetai graphusin tus logus en to biblio. The prophets, hoi prophetai, that's our subject, so it has a particular ending. And then the verb, graphusin, they are writing. Tus logus, that's the direct object of the verb. They're writing words. And then in the book, ento biblio. So you see we get three sets of nouns in that sentence. Hoi prophetai is the subject, and it has the article with it, hoi. Tus logus is the direct object. It has the article with it. That's tus. And then the indirect object with a preposition. En is the preposition, and then to biblio is the indirect object. And it also has an article. But the article, hoi, is plural, and in the case it indicates the subject. Tus is also plural, but in the case it indicates the object, and it is completely changed, its form. And then to is in the singular, and in the case it indicates the indirect object as the argument of the preposition. In. So the article, the simple article, can take 30 different forms, depending upon its role in the sentence. Okay, so next example, number two. Hoi prophetai legusin tus logus tu theu kai akuamen tus logus. Hoi prophetai legusin tus logus tu theu kai akuamen tus logus. Sentences are getting longer here. So, hoi prophetai, there we have our subject again. So it has a particular ending, ending for subject and in the plural. Legusin, the verb, so the prophets speak. Tus logus is the direct object, so it's what they speak. They speak the words. Then tu theu, another noun phrase. But telling us it's not the direct object because the prophets don't speak God. It's telling us something more about the logos, that it's the words that are of God. So it's actually put in a different case than logos, as we'll learn in the next chapter. Kai akuamen, and we hear tus logos, we hear the words. Okay. So we have the nouns there. We've got hoi prophetai is the subject, tus logus the direct object, tu theu as specifying, adding specificity to that direct direct object, and then tus logus another direct object. Number three, anagnoskete tus logus tu Bibliu kai akousin autus. Anagnoskete tus logus tu bibliu kai akousin autus. You read, so anagnoskete, notice the ete ending for you, plural. Tus logus, that's our direct object. Tu bibliu, telling us something more about that object, that it's the words of the book. Kai akousin, and they hear autus, they hear them. And to figure out what them is, you look back and see what is there? There has to be some noun which is in the same case, which would be two slagus. Okay. Number four, akousin two slagus kai graphousin autous ento biblio. Akousin two slagus kai graphousin autous ento biblio. Akousin, they hear. Tous logus, the direct object, they hear the words. And graphousin, another verb, they write autous, them. And the autous refers back to the tous logus. Ento biblio, another indirect object with a preposition en. Mm-hmm. Okay, everybody understand? Any questions about those? Yes?
Did you say between biblio and biblio?
Between?
The biblio of the second three and biblio. Would that omega end?
Oh, yes. Those are different endings depending upon their different function in the sentence.
Okay.
And this will become clearer when we get to the next lesson. But you've got to think, and this is where part of learning Greek is learning your English grammar, and learning back to remember the days of having a subject, a direct object, an indirect object, and then what prepositions are, and all this. So when we get to the nouns in the next lesson, we'll talk further about that. Okay, quick review, section 5 here. So here are the forms of lego that you have learnt. In the singular, so that's referring to just one person, lego, leges, lege. So let's say those. Lego, leges, lege. And then in the plural, we have more than one person as the subject of the verb. Legomen, legete, legusin. Legomen, legete, legusin. Okay, so let's say all six of those together. Lego, leges, lege, legomen, legete, legusin. Good. And so we have the endings. O, eis, a, omen, ete, usin. And those endings are added onto the end of a stem. And the stem is the main part of the verb. And for the verb lego, the stem is leg, onto which you add those endings. O, eis, a, omen, ete, usin. For grapho, the stem is graph. For akuo, the stem is aku. And for anagonosko, the stem is anagonosk. So generally, it's going to be, in most cases, it's going to be the first person singular, just knock off the O ending. There will be there are a few exceptions to that, but that for the moment is good enough for you. Okay. And the stem of a verb, that's sort of its root, and then onto it we add these endings, and then we'll learn that there are a whole bunch of more endings that also convey tense. So for different future tense, past tense, and so on, all form part of the endings. And then in a few cases, we'll find there are also prefixes that get put onto the front of the stem. Section 6, type of action. This is what nuance do we convey in the present tense? Compare these two sentences. I am writing the words, grapho tous logus, and I write the words, grapho tous logus. So in English, those are two different sentences, but we translate them the same way into Greek. In A, grapho describes an action that is going on now, a continuous action. We would call it we represent this continuing present action by a line. So continuous present, continuing present. In B, If the sentence is completed by the words every day, so that it reads, I write the words every day, then grapho describes a repeated action or a series of repeated actions. And we will represent this kind of repeated action by a series of dots. So in Greek, a form like lego or grapho may represent either continuing action or repeated action. So action that's ongoing or action that's just repeated punctiliar at discrete points in time. And when we translate such forms into English, we have to choose either an English form that indicates continuing action, I am saying, I am writing, or one that indicates repeated action, I say, I write. And you sort of have to make a judgment call on that using context to try and get the sense of what meaning the writer is trying to get at. In short passages and single sentences like the ones in these early lessons, it's not usually possible to choose one form rather than the other because we don't have enough context to make that decision. So if you translate legomen as we are saying, and the check column has we say, don't be surprised, you're not wrong. At least you're not wrong based upon the limited amount of information that you have. But if you're translating something like a chapter of the New Testament, you've got a whole paragraph to work with, that context will make it clear enough as to what the sense of the present tense would be. Okay, section 7, this is where we see you have to think, and we see how well you've taken this in. Okay, example A. Here are our patterns. Akouamen tous logos, we hear the words. Anagnoskete ta biblion, you read the book. And graphousin ton logon, they write the word. So how would you say in Greek? First one's always easy. So how do you say, we hear the words? Okay, akouamen tous logos. Good. You hear the words. This whole lesson is about the plural. Lesson 5 is about the plural, so assume that the you there is plural. So you hear the words. Acuite tus logos. Acuite tus logos. You read the book. Okay, again, I hear all sorts of conflicting. Anagnoskete. Anagnoskete. Ta biblion. Ta biblion. Anagnoskete ta biblion. You read the book. We read the book. Okay. Anagnoskomen ta biblion. Ta biblion. They write the book. Graphousin ta biblion. Graphousin ta biblion. They write the word. No, tous logos would be the words plural. This is singular. Graphousin ton logon. Graphousin ton logon. You write the word. Graphite ton logon. Graphite ton logon. We write the word. Graphomen ton logon. I hear the word. Akuo ton logon. Akuo ton logon. He hears the words. So, yeah, the words, plural, words here is plural. Akue tus logus. Akue tus logus. And she reads the book. Anagnoske ta biblion. Anagnoske ta biblion.
There's no difference between he and she, right?
There's no difference between he and she. Third person singular is he, she, or it. That's the subject. Okay.
Covers. I have one point of confusion. On the ta biblion. Okay, we'll probably come up in the next chapter.
Yeah.
But why isn't it tom biblion? Why not the agree?
Because it is a neuter word, and ta is the neuter ending, ton would be the masculine ending. So we're going to learn that that nouns are either masculine, feminine, or neuter. Further difficulties, but if you've learned French or German, you're familiar with this. Yeah.
But we got to memorize all the dare deeds off.
Okay, section B, using kairate, rejoice or greetings for a group. So kairate, it's actually an imperative, it's a command in the plural. So that's why it says for a group. Humen is to you, and kaire when speaking to one person. So kaire is the singular imperative, kairate, the plural imperative. And then soi is to you as singular. And then the word erene, meaning peace or shalom, agape, meaning love, and chara is joy. Now we get some greetings that we can say. Okay? So I would say to you, chairete, chairete, and I would say that in the plural because I'm addressing a group of you. And you would reply, kaire, kaire. So, kairete, kaire, yeah. And the first letter there is, so it's like on the end of Bach. It's a Bach, kairete. Irene humen, Irene humen. And you would reply, Irene soy. So I say, Irene Humen, peace to you. Humen there being plural, to you as a group. And you reply, Irene Soy, Soy there being singular. So this is carrying over a typical Semitic greeting that we have from the Old Testament, Shalom Aleichem, which is still used today. And Jews would say that today. In Arabic, it's very similar, Salam. And so this is then the Greek equivalent, peace to you. And we find this at the beginning of most of the letters of the New Testament. Grace and peace to you. Okay. Agape humen is what I would say. Agape humen, love to you. And you would reply, agape soy, love to you. So the noun agape, love, you've heard that referred to often enough, you know, that is love. Irene, I should say peace. We have in English the word irenical, peaceful, peace-loving. And then thirdly, chara humen, joy to you, and you would say chara soy, and singular. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yep, agape. Yep, agape.
What is it? We will agape. It's agape.
It's agape. The accent's on the second syllable, so agape. Yeah, agape would be agape. Agape. So we had there humen, meaning to you, that as the indirect object has a particular ending. Now in section C we have humes. Humes is you plural, but now with it as the subject. And notice that's a rough breathing over the upsilon, huh. So we pronounce that, start with an H, humes, humes. And then autois is to them, so we've seen various forms of this, auto, autus, and so on, autois now. So we use them in some verses from the New Testament, Matthew 5:14, from the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, humes este ta phos, to cosmu. Humes este ta phos tu cosmu. You are the light of the world. Now he could have just said este ta phos tu cosmu, and that would have been the same thing. Right? Because the you, we know from este, well, you would know once you learn the forms of the verb to be, that the you is encoded in there, but he's emphatic. By putting humes first, you could almost say you, it's you who are the light of the world, or something like that, emphatic. And from John 20, verse 19, kai lege autois, erene humen. Kai lege autois, erene humen. And he said, and he says to them, and this is a style you often find in the Gospels, is even though it's narrating something that happened in the past, they use this this present, and we do the same often when we tell stories. We'll put it, to make it more vivid, we can put it into the present tense. But generally, in English translations, they get translated as the past. In NASB, for all these verbs, you'll find there'll be an asterisk next to the verb in certain printings of the NASB, and they actually indicate where this historic present is used. So, and he says to them, or he said to them, peace to you. Erene humen, and you don't have to use the verb to be there, that's understood. Okay, section 8. Test your understanding. Which translation is correct? Akousin tous logos. Akousin tous logos. There are different answers floating around the table. They hear the words. They hear the words. Akousen. Number two, anagnoskomen ton logon. Anagnoskomen ton logon. B, we are reading the word. Three, graphite ta biblia. Graphite ta biblia. Okay, you write the books. You write the books. And ta biblia there, that is what we get the word Bible from. It's the books. Ta biblia. Number four, anagnoske ta biblion. Anagnoske ta biblion. Good. She reads the book. And five, hoi prophetai akousi tous logos tu theou. Hoi prophetai akousi tous logos tu theou. Good. A, the prophets hear the words of God. So notice there, akousi in this case does not have the final nun. And on the end, that's missing, but still has the same meaning. Okay, so there, lessons 4 and 5, you've now learned the verb in the present tense, lego, leges, lege, legomen, legate, legusin. So, all clear on that? No?